So last week with our covering the Ephesians 4, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, I've had some different people ask me questions about spiritual gifting, so I thought we would take a slight detour today and just kind of talk over that topic in and of itself. And so we're just going to walk through the passages that we see. These are the main spiritual gift passages. There are some others that are, one-offs, different places, but this will allow us to cover the big ones. And so I just wanted us to walk from one passage to the next and then we'll kind of have a little conversation. Today will probably be me speaking a little bit more than I normally do, just to kind of walk you through where I'm coming from to help you to see what I said last week. And then if you have any questions or you want to make any points, we can go from there. So we're in Romans chapter 12. And so we're going to start there at 1 and go the whole way through verse 8. And so if somebody nice and loud could read that for us.
I got it.
Great.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the same members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness.
Great. So let's jump over to 1 Corinthians 12 now. Yes, but I won't make you read the whole thing. If you want to read a chunk, and then somebody will pick up wherever you leave off. That'll make everybody pay extra attention to be able to know when you stop. Well, what verse we're on that they can pick it up.
New King James, so it might sound.
New King James.
That's where I just went from. I'm a new KJV guy.
Yeah, New King James, good translation. So.
Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues.
But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But not now indeed, there are many members, yet one body.
And I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are you all apostles? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way.
Now going to 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 through 5.
More New King James.
It's like six in a row. Get it?
Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He will speak in a tongue. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification.
One more passage as we go to 1 Peter. So we're in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, and we're going to go from verse 8 to verse 11. Pause for a second. Go ahead and flip there, but I didn't want anybody to start reading it. So everybody got there. So we kind of stop here. The paper's wrestling. So 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11.
Did I jump the gun earlier?
We seemed like we kept getting faster, and I was like, let's give a little buffer there on that one. Go, Jared.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Amen.
Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Now, I'm sorry, show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks, oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
And we'll go into our Ephesians passage where we were last week, Ephesians 4 there, and verse 11. Well, actually, go ahead and do 11 through 16. We'll get the whole passage again. Ephesians 4, 11 to 15, or 16.
And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love.
So I want to pull a few thoughts from these. So first thought I want us to think through is obviously through all those passages we see that we're to be one body. Mm-hmm. Now, last week we talked about how that's one body, church universal, but then that's also one body with the local manifestation. So like within Berean Baptist Church, we're to be one body. I think we can even take that down to like within our Sunday school. We'll have different giftings to be able to be one body, like within staff, within the elders. I think we can do that in different levels. The key is that we're to be in unity. Unity of what?
Christ.
Okay, unity of Christ. All right? So we're all in Christ. We're all focused on Christ. We're all following his commands. We're all obedient to Christ. But we need to understand, what about us? Okay, yeah, we have different roles. You know, we have different responsibilities. And so when I'm talking gifting, I look at it in three different areas. So I think the DNA, I think we're all gifted, we're all created, we're all designed in a special way. Now, we know that corporate sin of the world has corrupted that. And so even though God designed us each uniquely, we're not going to max out 100% effective of how God designed us, but we should be looking for that and understanding that, because he designed us, you know, specially. We're all special in different ways. So we need to have that clearly understood. It's helpful to know, how did God design you? You know, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? None of us are perfect in every area, but yet we have many strengths. Another part of our gifting is experience. Through our different life roles, different life situations, contexts, and things in our life, we get gifted out of that. When you've experienced a parent passing away, that's actually a gift, because then when you're around another brother or sister or a lost person that's going through that same situation, then you can help them to walk through that because you've been through that. You lost a job. Right? There's many different things that we experience in life, and that is part of our gifting, the way God is creating us and building us up as we go through life. And then the spiritual part of our gifting. Now, within that 1 Peter passage, when it talks about we've all been given one gift, what is the one gift?
Salvation.
Okay. So salvation, and then along with that,
the gifting of the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Yes. So each of us, we have been gifted the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? So that's when I focus on spiritual gifting, this is kind of where my thought process works through it. That each of us have been gifted the Holy Spirit. Now when we walk into and we look at the lists, right? What is one thing that is clear about the lists?
They're all connected.
Yeah, they are connected. But what is clear about all the lists?
They're forms of ministry.
Okay, they're definitely all connected. I think connected through ministry, mm-hmm. through serving is how they're all connected. What else do we see about all the lists?
They're not the same.
What's that?
They all point to Christ. In some
way. Yeah, they're all designed in some way to point to Christ, back to the one body.
But they're not the same. The lists aren't the same.
The lists are not the same. Mm-hmm. Now, who wrote this list?
Paul.
Come on now, people. You got to work with me a little bit. You know, Romans. I mean, I didn't ask Hebrews. Who wrote Hebrews? Who wrote Romans on that one? Okay, so Paul's the author. All right. 1 Corinthians, who's the author?
Paul.
Okay. 1 Peter, who's the author?
Peter.
Okay. Now, if we look at the Gospels, we have different authors in the Gospels, so we see different perspectives. So we should assume some differences. All right. So if we have Peter and Paul, okay, I can get that there's going to be some differences. All right. But when Paul writes to Romans and he writes to Corinth, why is he coming up with different lists? Okay, say it, Jerry.
Because he's writing to different audience.
So different audience means different context. Mm-hmm. And then Levi?
I say because it's not a hard and fast list.
Yeah.
It's not these five alone.
Okay. So when we look at the list, you know, however many you want to say that are on the list, I don't think that that's a set list. I think that we've all been gifted. Gifted who?
The Spirit.
We've all been gifted the Holy Spirit. And then depending on our context, depending upon our body and the part we're to be, when we're to be it, since we have the Holy Spirit, He will manifest up the gifts that we need for that moment and what is going on. Thoughts, questions so far?
I think the need too, right? So
yes, yeah, for the need that is in that situation, right, in that context.
Yep.
Yeah, because it goes back to the ministry and the serving.
Well, I don't know why, but it just, he talks about the eye, the ear, the nose, but he doesn't talk about the appendix or the knee or the, you know, I mean, and the same thing, you know, he talks about certain gifts, but he doesn't talk about all of them. So
it makes sense.
You know, it kind of makes
sense.
Just
because it's not mentioned.
Just because it's not mentioned doesn't mean it's
not.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah.
So he mentions external things that are easy to see, both on the body, and then I think for each of the context, what we see in this list and then this list and then coming along here and here, it's what was being shown during that time period in those situations. So when we look at these lists, I think we need to understand that we're looking back at the list. We're looking back at the situation. Daniel?
I got a good question for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy for us who've, you know, been in church for a long time to correlate those things, but really the discussion happens when you're trying to talk to somebody who doesn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they take the literal sense in all these words. So how do you formulate that answer? Which is, okay, how do you move past it for them to give you that this is an analogy more than it is a reality type?
So we always use Scripture to interpret Scripture. So we have to go to different passages, and then we compare them. And then as we're walking through them and we're understanding that, we need to understand descriptive or prescriptive. Okay, we've had that conversation. If a passage is descriptive, what's going on, what's being said in the passage versus prescriptive? Descriptive, you hear what word in it?
Describe.
Describe. Okay? So in some passages, it's a description. The human author is describing what is going on. Versus a prescriptive passage, prescriptive means that that person is doing what? What word do you hear in prescriptive?
Prescribing.
Okay, so then in some passages, it's where the human author is prescribing what they're saying. Or who's speaking, like if it's Jesus speaking, but it's one of the Gospels being written down type of thing there. So if it's a prescriptive passage, then that's where it's a teaching passage. And then we've got to figure out, is it a universal teaching passage? Is this teaching speaking to every church? Or is this teaching speaking to this contextual church? So we'll just take one fun example. Some of you, your mind's already running there like Pastor does with you sometimes. One of the most fun passages in Scripture that we need to make sure we're understanding, is it a universal teaching or is it a contextual teaching, is that women are to be silent in the church. Okay? Paul called him out. He said, women, you got to shut up in church. Okay? Now, that's prescriptive. You know, he was giving them a command. But was that universal to every church that women are not allowed to speak in any church?
No.
No, it was not. What was happening in that church that Paul was specifically speaking to?
There was a belief at that time that like women are God was a woman. There was some praising towards man. I just lost it.
Yeah, her. Yeah. So you have two things going on there. You have this. There was this women God, and that was mixing with it. And then also when they were gathering together, you had this husbands and wives back and forth dynamic that was causing confusion, and it was messing up the worship service. And so what Paul was saying, hey, to have a good unity within the Spirit, wait till you get home to talk through that with your husband and wife situation on that. And so Paul was not prescribing that women can never talk. He was addressing that specific right then, that you don't need to be hollering out to your husband sitting across the room, hey, Levi, is that Mike guy spot on right there? Or is he really off his rocker type of thing? You know, that was what the dynamic was there. So we can't answer when people are having those questions short and sweet. And that's where, if we're in relationship with them, over time we can give them little answers along the way and walk with them through specific passages and help them. And that's where we have to be honest. You know, we have to be honest in not everything is black and white. You know, Michael and I were talking about that before Sunday school this morning. A lot of the Bible is black and white. You know, but as pastor is working with us, there's a lot of things that are in tension in Scripture where we have truth and we have truth, but yet that spectrum, there's a tension and it's somewhere in there. And that's where we have to be okay with saying that some things are in the gray and we've got to work through that where that comes out. Okay. Did I do an okay? Does that answer that? All right. Thoughts, anything up to the point at the moment?
Fighting today, this literal thing where you have this church over here and it has this title in it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the conversation I'm talking about, which is, you know, Bereans. We live in the deep end of the pool, right?
Yep.
To be honest. Mm-hmm. But more often than not, when you start talking about these things that we've been talking about this morning, you know, people take them too literal in the names of the church, and then you got to have conversations and say, they're wrong. And then they look at you kind of like, who are you to tell me that they're all right?
And that's where we mentioned this in the podcast on Thursday, that when it comes to the universal church, the church within Fayetteville, we need to be much more willing to cooperate and go along with each other as long as we're within the one Christ body. But yet when we're amongst the Berean body, then that's the context where we drill down more and we're all on the same Baptistic statement of faith level. Now, if you're with other people that are in other churches and they want to talk through that, I'm not saying you can't talk through that. But I think sometimes we have to be careful. God doesn't always want us to be correcting people that are outside of our own church family.
Right.
Now, within our church family, that's definitely the dynamic that's set up in Scripture. But if it's other believers that are outside of our church, sometimes we have to be willing to let them be a little bit different than us. AKA, maybe be wrong. Okay? Now, Mike can be wrong sometimes. So, you know, but often I look at everybody else, they're wrong. So I have to work through that.
Yeah. I also say that you have to be willing to receive their exhortation as well. Because when I think about the churches that were in Revelation, I'm sure that several of them thought, like, man, we are on track. We are crushing it. We're doing this and that. Those are the guys who are And we all need people from the outside looking in. We all, this is a great part of it being different body parts, is that we see it from these different perspectives, and we're human, so there's going to be a part that we neglect. And then that part is going to speak up and say, hey, this is the part that you're neglecting.
Okay, so we're a couple minutes over, so I'll leave this up, and then we'll pick it up right here, and we'll walk right back into our passage then on next Sunday. All right? Let me close this up. Father, I thank you that you have given each of us as brothers and sisters the Holy Spirit, that God the Spirit can manifest in us whatever we need for the moment that you have us in. Help us this week, Father, to be aware of that, to be aware of how you want to use us in ministering and serving the people that are around us, and how that you can gift us to help them with whatever their need is. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Taylor, I was going to share this to you about yesterday.
Yep.
Awesome.